Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16, Text 281. Tobu Vrindavana Jaho, Loka Shikaite, Shetakori Beto Marje Loi Chite. Although wherever you, referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you will still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you will do whatever you think best. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It was not essential for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, for wherever he stayed was immediately converted to Vrindavan. Indeed, at that place were also the river Ganges, the river Yamuna, and all other places of pilgrimage. This was also expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he danced in the Rath Yatra. At that time he said that his very mind was Vrindavan, Moramon Vrindavan. Because his mind was Vrindavan, all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna were taking place within himself. Nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Bhoma Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham in this material world. In this way, the Lord instructed everyone to visit Vrindavan Dham, which is a very holy place. Materialists consider Vrindavan Dham an unclean city because there are many monkeys and dogs there. And along the bank of the Yamuna, there is refuse. Some time ago, a materialistic man asked me, "Why are you living in Vrindavan? Why have you selected such a dirty place to live after retiring?" Such a person cannot understand that the earthly Vrindavan Dham is always a representation of the original Vrindavan Dham. Consequently, Vrindavan Dham is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajesh Atanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Lord Sri Krishna and his abode, Vrindavana, are equally worshipable. Sometimes materialistic people who have no spiritual understanding go to Vrindavan as tourists. One who goes to Vrindavan with such materialistic vision cannot derive any spiritual benefit. Such a person is not convinced that Krishna and Vrindavan are identical. Since they are identical, Vrindavan is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, Moramon Vrindavan, is different from the vision of an ordinary materialistic person. At the Rath Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, dragged Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke of this in the verses beginning Ahuschate. This is, in Srila Prabhupada's purport, this is derived from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purport. And yes, often he would quote Ahuschate, and then it's expected that the devotees would understand what he's referring to. It's a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is very subtly forms the background to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, which is described more than once in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings while he was particularly cultivating the feelings of Radharani's separation from Krishna, that she was feeling at Kurukshetra, where she got Krishna, but she was not satisfied with receiving Krishna there. So that's all subtly extracted from verse Ahushchatela Nilanava Padaravinda Ityadi. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, continuing Srila Prabhupada's purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke svadhi kalatradishu bhoma idyadihi yatirta buddhi salilena karhi jijjaneshvabhigyeshu sa eva gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of birth as worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Yeah, so that's the end of that translation. Continuing the purport. Is this? Should I put it a little closer? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally renovated Vrindavan Dham and advised his chief disciples, Rupa and Sanatana, to develop it and open it to attract the spiritual vision of the general populace. At present there are about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, and still our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is constructing a huge, magnificent temple for the worship of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, along with Radha Krishna and Guru Gauranga. Since there is no prominent Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we are attempting to construct one so that people will be attracted to Krishna Balaram or Nitai Gaura Chandra, Brajendra Nandan Jai Shachi Shuta Hoiloshe. Narottam Das Thakur says that Balaram and the son of Maharaj Nanda have advented themselves as Gaura Nitai. To propagate this fundamental principle, we are establishing a Krishna Balaram temple to broadcast to the world that worship of Gaura Nitai is the same as worship of Krishna Balaram. Although it is very difficult to enter into the Radha Krishna pastimes, most of the devotees of Vrindavan are attracted to the Radha Krishna Leela. However, since Nitai Gaura Chandra are direct incarnations of Balaram and Krishna, we can be directly in touch with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Those who are highly elevated in Krishna consciousness can enter into the pastimes of Radha Krishna through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes materialists, forgetting the pastimes of Radha Krishna and Krishna Balaram, go to Vrindavan, accept the land's spiritual facilities, and engage in material activity. This is against the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Prakrita Sahajiyas proclaim themselves Rajavasis or Dhammavasis, but they are mainly engaged in sense gratification. Thus they become more and more implicated in the materialistic way of life. Those who are pure devotees in Krishna consciousness condemn their activities. The eternal Vrajavasis like Swarup Damodar did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Pundarika Vidyanidhi, Sri Haridasa Thakur, Srivas Pandit, Shivananda Sena, Sri Ramananda Rai, Sri Shiki Mahiti, Sri Madhavi Devi, and Sri Gadadha Pandit Goswami never visited Vrindavan Dham. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that we have no authorized documents stating that these exalted personalities visited Vrindavan. Nonetheless, we find many non-devotees, Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakriti sahajiyas, fruitive workers, mental speculators, and many others with material motives going to Vrindavan to live. Many of these people go there to solve their economic problems by becoming beggars. Although anyone living in Vrindavan somehow or other is benefited, the real Vrindavan is appreciated only by a pure devotee. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When one has purified eyes, he can see that Sri Vrindavan and the original Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky are identical. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Sri Bhagavan Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur of Kolkata, always engaged in Nama Bhajan, and certainly did not live anywhere but Vrindavan. Presently, the members of the Hare Krishna movement throughout the world live in materially opulent cities such as London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Zurich, and Stockholm. However, we are satisfied with following in the footsteps of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas because we live in the temples of Radha Krishna and continuously hold Hari Nama Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna. We consequently live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. We are also following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by attempting to construct a temple in Vrindavan for our disciples throughout the world to visit. I read this verse and purport particularly as it is pertinent in replying to a query which I received by email. I had quoted to one devotee, Srila Prabhupada, having said that living in Vrindavan is like living in the lap of Krishna, which obviously brings to mind the analogy of a child on the lap of the mother. The child on the lap of the mother feels completely protected. Maybe doesn't even feel completely protected, just takes the protection of the mother completely for granted. The child on the lap of the mother, it's supposed to be a classical theme of contentment, all that is good. What better position could there be? That is, that analogy is often given also by, in relation to Bhagavan, how the child is, just like a child is completely dependent on, completely confident of the protection of the mother, so the devotee is confident of the protection of the Supreme Lord. And actually is, the mother is prepared to do anything to protect the child. Her whole life is dedicated to the child. So in the same way, Bhagavan looks to his devotees, is prepared to do anything, because the devotee is just like his life. Toma Hridaye Shada Govinda Vishram. The Govinda is always present in the heart of the devotee. Shadu Nang Hridayam Tvaham, Sadhu Nang Hridayam Tvaham. Madanyate na jananti nahang tebhyo managapi. Krishna says that devotees are my heart and I am their heart because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. And the dham is non-different from Krishna. So living in the dham is like living in the lap of Krishna. So this is a question, or a few questions, from a devotee who's been living in the dham for many years. The question is, after hearing all those nice things about the Supreme Lord and his dham and the devotees, now comes the drop of realism, the nasty realism. How is it possible to see the dham for what it really is when there is so much politics in the air? When I can't go from here to there without somebody pouncing on me to tell me of XYZ's rise or fall from power, and of ongoing machinations and manipulations. How is it possible to even serve in proper consciousness? What to speak of entering into this sweet mood of the Dham? Or should one be like the child on the mother's lap, oblivious of its special position, and just be comforted by the fact that the mother never forgets, not even for a moment, the child that's on her lap? That's an interesting analogy, that the mother herself might have so many cares about how to live in this world, and she may have so many difficulties that she's going through, but that doesn't get communicated to the child. We're speaking here in an idealistic way, what motherhood was previously understood to be before the age of gross selfishness, the modern age. The mother herself may have so many problems, but she, the child is oblivious to all of that. Of course, that analogy doesn't completely fit with that of a devotee depending on Krishna, because Krishna doesn't have problems. It's partially applicable, the idea that anyway, whatever happens, Krishna's looking after me. That feeling that Krishna's looking after me. In this purport, which I just read, what I do with this, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Vrindavan. Some pertinent points there. Mayapur Dham is, of course, non-different from Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada writes that many materialistic people go to Vrindavan for economic purposes, so they can make a living. That's not exactly the same situation as devotees of ISKCON who come from different parts of the world to live in Mayapur. I don't think that most of them are coming to for the purpose of making a living, although some of them might do. But it may be that they get entangled in or in a materialistic consciousness, or they may never rise. They come to the Dham, but they don't really take advantage of that or understand the benefit of it, the benefit that can be had. There are many living in Mayapur who, well, maybe not many, but quite a few who don't have a very solid sadhana, may not even visit the temple regularly or whatever. Watching TV, I can never understand. In Mayapur and Vrindavan, devotees, they spend so much money and they to come and live in Vrindavan, and then they just watch some kami movies or something on TV. Why come at all? Srila Prabhupada often used to give the analogy of the materialistic people. They want the kingdom of God without God. So if we actually come to the kingdom of God and we forget God and we want to make it the material world. Again, I don't think that it's that devotees deliberately come with such a motive, but although, as Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who comes to Vrindavan is benefited, obviously more benefit goes to those who cultivate Krishna consciousness very seriously. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada, echoing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, points out that Krishna consciousness is a state of consciousness, and that he cites several exalted devotees who never visited Vrindavan, but who are exalted devotees, where others they may be materialists, mayavadis, prakritas, ahajiyas. They're superficially living in the dham, but Srila Prabhupada writes here, they become more and they proclaim themselves rajavasis or dhammavasis, but they are mainly engaged in sense gratification. Thus, they become more and more implicated in the materialistic way of life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Anne Hridayamon Moramon Vrindavan. For others, the heart is the mind, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my mind is Vrindavan. So, the purport begins. It was not essential for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, because wherever he stayed was immediately converted to Vrindavan. He was always living in Vrindavan because his consciousness was Vrindavan. Whereas a materialistic person might superficially visit Vrindavan or Mayapur, but their consciousness remains materialistic. Nevertheless, the dham is very powerful. There is Prodhamaya, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is it Prodha or Prodha? Prodha. Maya, which it's a different kind of Maya, which covers the dham so that people may think they're in the dham, but actually they're in Maya. Or they never really have entrance into the dham. They're not. Entrance into the dham means Krishna consciousness. But nevertheless, the dham is very powerful, and anyone who stays in the dham somehow or other is benefited. And if one leaves the world from the dham, then he goes back to Godhead. So he might think, okay, I'll just live here and do whatever I like, and it doesn't matter, I'll go back to Godhead. But that's not very Krishna conscious. That's not cultivating the attitude of how we can please Krishna. I've heard stories of someone who gives up every rich man, leaves home, retires, goes to live in Vrindavan with the idea that he'll die there. And in his last days, as he becomes very sick, and he's obviously going to die soon, his relatives come, take him to a hospital in Delhi where he dies. So he benefited by living in Vrindavan, but he didn't die there. Now again, it's not that our ISKCON, this description doesn't exactly fit those of devotees who have made an effort to come and live here, but it is a warning or direction that we require to practice Krishna consciousness. Even though about Vrindavan and about Puri also, so it must apply to Vrindavan, to Mayapur, that even sleeping, lying down here is equivalent to performing Dandavat. Talking, even if it's nonsense, it's equivalent to talking Krishna Katha. But we find the effect on our consciousness is if we're trying to develop Krishna consciousness and someone wants to talk about this, that, and something else which has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, then we don't feel enlivened in Krishna consciousness. So, real coming to the dham is to engage in Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and serving Krishna. We see that that example of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he lived in the dham, but he didn't want to associate with everybody. He was very strongly practicing Krishna consciousness, and he didn't want to associate. He kept himself distant from others. He didn't want to be disturbed by others, by their misuse of the dham. He wanted to fully concentrate on Krishna consciousness. There are many anecdotes in this regard. For instance, when this Maharaj Manindra Nandi of Koshim Bazar, he begged Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He came to Navadvip Dham and begged Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, "You please come and purify my home, come to my palace." And Gaur Kishore said, "Well, if I went there, I might desire to take it over." But the king went on and said, "No, no, we need your association." So Gaur Kishore said to him, "So you like my association? Well, I'm here now. You can just stay here. You don't need to go back. That, you want my association? Then stay here. No need to go back to your palace." And there are so many stories of him, that anecdotes, that how being fed up of materialistic people coming to disturb him when he was trying to perform his bhajan in the dham, that he went to live in a latrine so that materialistic people wouldn't like to come to visit him in the latrine. So he was stringently avoiding bad association. And he practiced Krishna consciousness very seriously. Sakshad Vairagya Murti. He was directly the very form of non-attachment to this world. Practice, from our perspective, he was practicing severe austerities. So this is the ideal, the exemplar of how one should live in the dham for spiritual advancement. One should be completely absorbed and avoid materialistic association. Now, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, avoiding materialistic association, there were many people who came to him who were devotees or who wanted to be devotees, but he avoided their association also because he thought they weren't serious enough or sincere enough or whatever. So similarly, in Mayapur, there are many devotees living there now, and with many devotees living together, there can be many ups and downs and ins and outs, and there must be some organization, which means there's going to be some power structure, and for people who are interested in such things, it appears to be very attractive, and to climb up the ladder, and for others who are not bold enough to get on the ladder, to climb up and make their career, they can talk about it, just like in the newspapers, or now it's the news screens, reading the news on the internet. We hear about different politicians and what they do and what they say about each other and their ups and downs and their ins and outs. So people take pleasure in this, but it's not Krishna conscious. It doesn't help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So what do we do? If we've come to the dham for spiritual advancement, but we're attacked, it seems, somebody pouncing on me to tell me of this and that, ups and downs and ins and outs, machinations. Phew. That's quite a word. Politicking. Well, what do you do? You can just tell people that, "Sorry, I don't have time now." If you just give the... Of course, we don't want to be impolite. Sometimes we just listen to what people have to say just to be polite, but then they're wasting our time and we're wasting their time also. Here in Navadvip Dham, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all those that came to see him in his household of life, "Jodi ama pratishneho thake shabaka, tabi beti rikto Krishna, beti rikto na gaibaya." He said, "If you actually like me, then please don't talk of any topics outside of Krishna." So you could say that to those who want to take up your time like that. Of course, if you're living in a community, it might be wise to know some of the things that are going on, not to be completely aloof from that. Or if you want to be, well, then you might consider that if I'm not, I want to live in the Dham, get the mercy of the Dham, and appreciate the mercy of the Dham, but my consciousness is beset with all these other thoughts, then one has to separate oneself from all these things. Somehow, one might choose even to live outside the Dham and in a situation where there is the kind of atmosphere and the kind of, if we don't find the atmosphere and association within the Dham, we might prefer the kind of atmosphere and association that we require to make spiritual advancement. We might choose to live somewhere else and serve the Dham in separation, as Srila Prabhupada himself did in leaving Vrindavan to tell others about Vrindavan. When Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan before coming to the West, no doubt there was all kinds of politics going on there also at that time, which we never heard Srila Prabhupada talk about. Many people go there to retire, even at that time it was not unusual for someone of Srila Prabhupada's age and his background, from a Bengali Vaishnava family, gentleman, that's the superficial or external way in which people would have seen Srila Prabhupada. So many people would come to Vrindavan, but it's not so easy just to go from a life of being materialistic to being a pure devotee. And it's not that everybody would have come and just become a completely pure devotee. And if we delve into the goings-on in practically any spiritual or religious organization, in India, outside India, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, whatever, we'll find that almost inevitably they have all kinds of politics going on. People complain about politics in ISKCON, but it's everywhere. It's all because the religious organizations, for some reason or other, there's always this pulling and pushing and someone trying to push themselves up. So if we want to remain pure, there are two choices. We can either wade in and try to do something about it for the sake of upholding the dignity of all that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and for the sake of trying to make ISKCON all that it should be, so that people coming to it and living within it can avail of the gifts that Srila Prabhupada came to give. We may not fully wade into it. We may, to some extent or whatever. Personally, I find it practically my duty to warn others who come to me for guidance that, well, careful where you step within the big world of ISKCON. It's not that everywhere, everyone is the best association for your spiritual advancement. So there are various choices you can make. We may feel frustrated with the Dham. No, that's we may feel frustrated living in the Dham, let's put it like that, but we should never think that the Dham itself has become polluted. It's the example of the mud and foam on the Ganga doesn't mean that the Ganga has become impure. So we should be careful not to think of the Dham as being intrinsically polluted. Someone who's lived in the Dham for some time, they may think of going outside just to try to find a better atmosphere, but if they try to rip themselves away, they may find that it's very difficult for them to do so, because whatever the external covering in the form of non-devotional activities and non-devotional talks may be, the fact is that anyone who lives in the dham for some time and tries, despite whatever impediments there may be there, tries to cultivate Krishna consciousness seriously, then they'll find that they become attached to the holy dham, and it becomes almost unbearable for them to leave. That for Srila Prabhupada to leave and go to the West, he did that as a duty to serve his spiritual master. Otherwise, he had no desire to leave Vrindavan. So there are a few thoughts about that. Any question about this from anyone? No. Yeah. When dhamvasis eat fish, it is prasadam. Someone told you. The famous someone told you. It's some devotee told you. This today. That makes it more authorized. Someone told me. It's not exactly the best pramana. We're supposed to quote, well, I guess you could say guru, sadhu, shastra. A sadhu, a devotee told you, but it should be in line with guru and shastra also. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, citing somewhere in the Puranas, it is stated that in Jagannath Puri, which as you know is on the sea coast, eating fish is the same as eating Havishyana. On the seacoast means plenty of fish get caught every day by the local fishermen. And most of it, or a lot of it, comes to Calcutta in the train, if you're interested. So, there eating fish is the same as eating Havishyana. Havishyana means rice boiled with dal before it's dal, unsplit mung, without any salt or spices or ghee. It's a very basic kind of food, and eating that is considered very pious. But it's not the same as prasadam. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out in his commentary on this, because you can imagine Bengalis being what they are, they'd love this. Well, really? Well, eating fish in Puri. Well, I can just imagine I'm in Puri. I can install Jagannath in my home and it becomes non-different from Puri, and bring on the fish. Most Bengalis are fond of eating fish, if you didn't know. So, states that is equivalent to eating Havishyana, which is pious, but it's not devotional. It's not the same as, whoever told you that it's the same as eating prasada, got it wrong. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points that out, that in Puri it may not be sinful, or it may even be equivalent to material piety, to eat fish, but then devotees, they only eat Krishna prasadam, they don't take anything else. It's not devotional to eat Havishyana or to eat fish. So, Hare Krishna. So we'll finish that question and go on to another one.